Welcome, everyone, to the SI Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks so much for listening. Good show this week. Brought in my friend Kyle Brand from Good Morning Football. If you follow me on Twitter, read Traina Thoughts, listen to the podcast, you know I love the show, love the cast. Kyle was nice enough to come in and spend an hour with me. This is sort of the last guest interview type pod of the year. We're going to do a year in review next week with John Oran and Andrew Marchand. That'll be a two-part 2019 Sports Media Year in Review. So I wanted to have a fun, light episode this week. And thanks to Kyle's wittiness, that was accomplished. Last week, Mike Florio was on the show. 2 weeks ago, Katie Nolan. So if you haven't listened, dip into the archives. Check those out. Subscribe, rate, and review. Subscribe is huge if you can do that. And let's get this week's show rolling right now. Kyle Brandt, Good Morning Football. All right, joining me now. This is my last like regular format guest interview podcast for 2019, because next week will be a year in review that we're going to break up into two parts, and then I don't think there's going to be a pod the week of New Year. So I was like, for the last one, I need to have fun. I need to have someone I am a huge fan of. So I called on Kyle Brand from Good Morning Football to come in. I don't even have notes for this. We're just going to shoot the shit.
I noticed that. Yeah. I love you too, and you're already swearing.
Are you offended?
A little, yeah, and yet I like it because I can take control.
My producer sold me out and told me this is the first time he's ever seen me not have a notebook in front of me with notes.
Yeah, you have on, you know, Dwayne Johnson and Rich Eisen. No. You have a stack of notes for them. For me, yeah. Like, let's just wing it with Kyle, but I want to start with a compliment.
A lot of people think I've had the rock on this podcast. I have not, just for the record.
You just talk about him.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, it's like one of those put it out there and maybe he'll come on one day type of things.
You know you're all grown up, Jimmy, right? And this is how I know this. I remember a time when Jimmy Traina was good. He would give you your Tiffany Amber Thiessen profile of the day, and I loved it, and that's great.
Lovely lady of the day.
And yet, I was listening to your podcast the other day, and you were talking to Mike Florio.
Yes.
And there's a million questions to ask Mike Florio. You could have easily gone, you know, are the Patriots empire folding, or Dak Prescott this? And you started out with a research-based question, which you didn't do for this. You said you started your website in November of 2001.
Right.
And you asked this insightful question of when everyone was evaluating their lives after 9/11, is that what made you start this industry?
Right.
Which
right.
I thought was a great question, and you're an adult now.
Well, I appreciate that. Two, I would hardly say I'm an adult. I think, as you know, I don't think there's anyone in this business more versatile than you. You have to, like, I can sit here right now and talk to you about Good Morning Football and how the four of you have chemistry and doing a daily show from 7 to 10 in New York City, and then you have all these other side gigs, all of you. Or we can talk about Olivia Culpo dating Christian McCaffrey. Like,
yes.
I can go any way you want.
That's
with
a
it.
Good topic.
Yeah, I know.
I always think the
after
best
Danny Amendola
here. Yeah, I mean, listen, she's a fetching young lady.
I was very bummed that the Lions and Panthers didn't play at some point this year.
Right.
We needed that.
And it's not happening at any time in the playoffs. That's not going to
go
down. My favorite topic every time I come in here, though, is the SI offices themselves.
You love that.
I grew up SI.
Right, I was
a disciple. Like, I had big into the SI for kids. They had the Hot Shots poster that you would unfold, and I put them all over my room.
Right.
And so I came in here, and it's kind of like my Graceland.
That's
and then you come in, and it's like...
It's a little dead today.
Well, first of all, I don't know if I'm outing you guys. We got politics all over the TVs.
Right.
Which it's not called Politics Illustrated.
Right.
Although it's there.
Well,
and
no.
I'm always disappointed because I always think I'm going to come in and see like Kathy Ireland and Vendela and like all the women of my youth. And there's nothing to be seen here. It's just people drinking coffee.
So a couple of things. One, we have the SI Christmas party tonight. So I think people are like...
holiday party.
Holiday party. Yes, my bad. Sorry, forgot the... Yeah. And so I think right now people are like laying low. They're trying to save the energy. I think a couple of people are coming in late because it's going to be late night.
Do people get wild at the SI holiday party?
No.
No? I bet they did in the day. I bet Rick Riley was swinging from chandeliers.
In the day, in the day we would have it at like... like a club, basically.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, but that was a long time ago.
Everything's changed now.
Everything's changed. And some TVs are on sports, some are on politics.
Yes.
And as you know, I don't want to speak for everyone else. I'll speak for myself. I get sick of talking about sports because I'm in sports all day. So I welcome a political discussion or a discussion about Olivia Culpo and Christian McCaffrey.
Yes.
Because do you really want to talk about, you know, the end of the Patriot dynasty or whether the Ravens are the best team in football and Lamar Jackson's MVP? I mean, we got it, you know.
It's tough right now because, you know, you ever see those clips from like the Ironman triathlon or marathons where they show people and like their legs are locking up at like mile marker 24?
Right.
That's where we are right now with the NFL. It's great and like the best bites are yet to come. But it's this tough slog right now.
Yeah. Plus, you have the holidays. You know, you're a little distracted.
And, yeah.
And we talk about off air. You got to keep up with some other things. So let's do this. Listen. This is the SI Media podcast. So let's talk about Good Morning Football.
What can I do to make this a great podcast for you?
Nothing.
You got to cut through the clutter.
Just
you
have a conversation.
Have a guest who says some crazy stuff, Jimmy. Well, you want me to?
You want to say that Schrager's an asshole? No, I just
what?
I mean, I'm not expecting that.
It was nice that Peter came in here with
me. We love
Peter. It's a long, like 100-yard walk from our office at Good Morning Football. So for him not to be able to make that, it was cool.
Thanks, Peter.
Peter, how come you're not talking? Oh, because you're not here. He let me go by myself.
No. Good Morning Football tapes across the street from SI.
Very close.
And Peter couldn't make the commute over.
No.
Thanks, Peter.
You know what's funny? The last time we did this, it was the four of us. And we're in one studio. It was Kay and Nate and Peter and Kyle. You know what I remember about that? It was fun because it always is. You actually prepared for that one, unlike this one. And you had your icebreaker. And you were going to do the bit, which is this clever bit, which is, okay, guys, the four of you. Who's the one who in the morning meeting is the grumpiest?
Right.
And it was just crickets. Like no one wanted to say it.
I know. I thought you guys were close enough where you could be like, oh, got to stay away from so-and-so in the morning.
You know what? There's a thing about that where, and I don't want to like cue the sentimental music, but we never like take shots at each other. And I thought Bill Simmons had an apt metaphor for how we do our show. And you would get this because you're a wrestling guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, when we watch Good Morning Football, you guys finish the moves for each other. Like if Brock Lesnar is going to try to suplex the Undertaker has to let him. Like you have to make the move work. So we make the move work for each other. We do the whole, we sell it. So if you would have said who is the happiest in the morning, maybe we would have said it. But the fact that it was negative. And you know what the answer is? By that, I'll answer it now. Kay is very up and alert and almost even chipper in the morning meeting. Peter's very alpha, very hands-on. I am like really grumpy because I hate production meetings, and Nate's 100% asleep. So I think the answer is me.
Right.
Who's the grumpiest?
Well, that's the reason I asked is because let's cause a little controversy, but also because like you said, you guys have a production meeting at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
It's very early.
Yeah. Yes. So I would be surprised if more people weren't grumpy than chipper and happy at that hour.
Yeah, it's tough. The morning television thing is a different deal. I haven't watched the show on Apple. The Jennifer.
No, I don't have the Apple one.
Schrager was watching it though, and he was telling me, "I'm like, you watch that? Come on, Peter." He's like, "Guys, we work on a morning TV show. You really should watch it. It's fascinating the dynamics."
That's a weird one to rip him for. Like you're ripping him for watching that. That's
weird. You know why? Because Peter is very alternative. Like the thing that's popular a lot of times, he'll be like, "Oh, come on! Like, well, it's so lame." Like he's because he's too cool.
Yes, I know. He tries to say that the Big Bang Theory is like as good as Curb and Seinfeld.
Right.
And
he's got strange takes.
Yeah.
So for him to go with the mainstream, I was surprised. But I'll check it out if it's like our show.
Right. I just don't have the Apple. I would watch it if I had the Apple streaming service. I don't. So
you're not a Mandalorian guy? You're not watching The Mandalorian?
No. That's Disney Plus, right?
Yes.
I have Disney Plus for my nieces. But I haven't watched any
because you're not big
there.
Star Wars.
No.
So you're seeing all these Baby Yodas everywhere on Twitter. It's the biggest meme there is right now. Does it
annoy
you?
I thought there's some movie coming out with the Baby Yoda.
I think, no, the Baby Yoda is a Mandalorian thing. It's not about the new movie or the new ride or what have you. It's Mandalorian.
So wait, Mandalorian's a show?
Yes.
Not a movie?
Yes.
And he's on the show.
Baby Yoda. And the guy who plays the Mandalorian is also a guy who was from Game of Thrones. So like all these people coming together.
One thing I am very good at, to toot my own horn, is just because of what I've done over the years from Hot Clicks to now, in basically surfing the internet all day. I'm very good at tuning things out that are not part of my world or I don't care about. So like, yes, I know the Baby Yoda is a big thing, but I have no idea what the deal, like I'm very good at just moving on from it and tuning it out because you have to be because, you know, but then there's stories, like I was saying to someone here the other day, like again, when we were talking about like whether we want to talk, like I was obsessed last week with the Justin Timberlake story.
The apology.
It's
just interesting.
I could talk about that. I could talk about that for 8 hours.
Okay.
Because you're Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
One of the biggest male stars in the world, and you have to do an apology on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would delete Instagram and never use it before I would do an apology on Instagram.
I know.
And can you imagine what Jessica Biel must have did to him that night?
Do you mean in a good way or a bad way?
Like, when she saw that he was holding, had his wedding. See, that's the thing. The story is that there were pictures of him holding another woman's hand, which you're a married guy. I'm sure you know that would not go over well.
It's a preposterous
but
thing.
But here's what got lost in all that. He also had his wedding ring off.
His wedding ring was off?
Yes. Oh, yes, Christ. Kyle. Yes.
So that looks terrible. And in the pictures, the wedding ring's not on?
Right, while he's holding this other woman's hand.
Okay.
So what I'm saying, when I say Jessica Biel must have did a number on him, I mean in terms of to make him give that a public apology on Instagram. Like, shouldn't that just be between him and her? Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, I was so I didn't choose that alley to go down. I was caught up. There was a Chris Pratt apology last week too. Did you see that?
That was absurd.
The water bottle one.
Yes.
He poses. He's working out. He's drinking water. Whatever, like you would.
Yeah.
And then he gets jumped for having the disposable water bottle. And then he also apologized.
Right.
So I was caught up in that one.
That the Timberlake apology didn't bother me. It was more like, this is pathetic. Mm-hmm. The Pratt one annoyed the hell out of me. You can't drink out of a Poland Spring bottle now.
Can I give you a who would you rather be? You have to. You're gonna trade lives right now with one of these three people. Okay,
I'm going with Kyle Brandt.
No. I'm off the board. How dare you?
Okay.
You can trade lives right now permanently with Justin Timberlake,
right?
Chris Pratt,
right?
And Tom Brady. Who? One of their lives will become
yours.
That
is a phenomenal
career. Their money, their personal life, everything.
I eliminate Chris Pratt.
Really?
Right off that, I'll tell you why.
Marital issues.
Because like as a fat blogger, like I'd either want to be a singer or an athlete. Like I don't care about being an actor.
A movie star.
No, the other two appeal to me more.
You want to guard the galaxy, Trina?
No. Okay. Quarterback of the Patriots obviously is intriguing.
Yeah.
And I would love to be able to perform the way Justin Timberlake does. So it would be one of those. I would go Timberlake because here's the thing.
You made the right choice.
I love Tom Brady in terms of football. My favorite guy to watch every week. I mean, now it's probably Mahomes a little more than Brady.
Yeah.
But for the last 10 years, my favorite guy every Sunday to watch was Tom Brady. And interviewed him once in person. He could not have been nicer to me, so he won points with me that way.
How did you get to interview Brady? What are you screaming at him in the scrum?
Back in the Hot Clicks.
Brady was on Hot Clicks?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I figured maybe Moynihan or Giselle were, but not Brady himself.
I interviewed him in person. He was
him, dude?
Okay, you want to hear a funny story?
Of course.
There were rumors that, this is going back to how you started this about Hot Clicks. There were rumors at the time that Giselle was pregnant, but nothing was confirmed. So I said to him, there are rumors Giselle is pregnant. Would you like to comment on any of that? And he goes, the only thing I would say is we're having fun trying.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
First of all, it's a very personal question by you.
I know.
And
I was out of my mind back then. I was out of my mind back then when I did Hot Clicks. Out of my mind.
Original extra mustard Hot Clicks. You asked Brady, he's like, so I heard you knocked up your wife. Is that true? Or maybe it was someone else. Like, crazy question.
I was out of my mind.
But he answered it, and he answered it with a funny answer.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So.
Look at you, Jimmy.
But I am a little down on Brady these days for the TB12 stuff. So that's why I picked Timberlake.
Jim, you're gonna live that lifestyle? No. You want to never eat anything, never
no
work
strawberries.
Out constantly pliable. And plus, like, his football career is almost over. I'm not very pliable either. I'm not trading that life. No way, man.
I just think, like, if you're him, you have more money than you'll ever need in life. Why are you sullying yourself by selling $100 recovery pajamas?
Is he doing that still?
Yes.
Is he really? Yeah.
And he doesn't eat strawberry. Like,
$100 pajamas?
Yeah.
And do they do something?
They're supposed to make you feel better when you put them on.
Wow. That reminds me, do you remember when Ricky Schroeder was on Howard Stern and they were making fun of his magic underpants for something?
I don't remember that, but I will have to.
Some sort of underwear that would be something like that. You know, usually know Howard, so it reminds
me
of that.
So wait, what would be your choice in that three?
Here's the thing. Chris Pratt is seems like a great guy. He can work the next 50 years. Made a ton of money. I know that it's kind of seedy to talk about, but I know he's had some personal issues with divorces and all that.
Right.
And so I don't want to delve into that at all.
Well, Tom has some.
He has that too. So again, there's that factor that I don't want. And Tom Brady's football career is almost over. Plus, he has to get hit for a living. I think it's Timberlake.
Right.
And I mean, aside from holding hands with other women, which I don't do, I mean, Justin Timberlake's going to be singing in 50 years from now. He's got a career that will never end. He doesn't have to get hit. Endless wealth, beautiful wife, seems like a great guy. I think it's Timberlake in a runaway.
Yeah.
Would you take DiCaprio over Timberlake? You got to live a lot of secrecy, Jim. You know, these podcasts anymore. Can't talk to anybody.
I know everyone would probably say Leo, but I think I would still go with Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake, yeah. You don't like Leo?
It's not that I don't like him. I feel like I don't know anything about him other than all he does is date 20-year-old models, and
isn't
he's in great movies.
He doesn't do interviews.
Yeah,
and I think it's a huge part of his
look
allure.
Look at this, Kyle spilling all over the place.
I'm a huge spiller, and this is even with the top. I'm talking
spilling
about DiCaprio getting hot and bothered.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would go Timberlake too.
And he's one of these, like, you know, wants to save the planet, and then he's in like the jet and the limo and all that stuff. So who wants that bad publicity?
Sure. Just go to the next bullet point you prepared for me, Jimmy.
I have no bullet point. This was going to be conversation. But I figure we should talk about Good Morning Football a little bit. Let's keep the NFL Network happy.
Yeah, please. If you're listening to this, watch Good Morning Football. It's fun.
Football, Monday through Friday. You know what's interesting about you guys? I do like the fact I get nervous as a super fan of the show, which you know I am from day one. Mm-hmm. I do get nervous the band's going to break up eventually. You guys don't think about it, but it's pretty crazy. Like, you guys all have the side gigs. Like, Kay's doing the Thursday night thing with Chris Long, and Schrager's got Thursday night with Fox, and Nate does CBS.
Yeah.
And you did your show on Friday nights. Is it just you want to do more and more and more, strike while the iron's hot? You also have a family. Like, when does it become too much for you?
It's a good question. I've been learning about that on the fly.
Yeah.
Because you figure you do a morning show every single day, which is a lot of work, and you have to get up in the night and come into the city in 3 hours, and then you leave, and like, there's a lot of side gigs to be had. And I mean, a different show. You want to have a radio show? You want to have a podcast? You want to have a clothing line? Like, all that stuff is to be had. And there's always a price to pay.
Clothing line.
Yeah, I mean, not me. I still wear L.L. Bean. I'm not talking about Nate or Peter. I don't know, whoever's Kay, not me.
Right.
But things come. And like, I've bitten off more than I can chew before. Because here's the deal. When you scrape and you work and you get hard and you want to do as much as you can, when you get there to where there's opportunities, it's so hard to say no. I mean, it's really hard because you think they're not going to come again. And if you say no once, they'll ask somebody else. So I've learned a couple of valuable lessons about things that I've said yes to.
Such as? Like the lessons. What are the lessons?
The lessons are, first of all, you should be paid. There's a lot of things that people want you to do for free.
Right.
And I don't need to be paid to step off a curb, but like, if I'm going to spend a weekend away from my family or something like that, like, you have to be paid.
Right.
And it's hard.
Oh, that was the thing. You did that thing for Dazn.
Yeah, DAZN.
Was that? I say Dazn.
Yeah, that was wild.
What was that, like a last minute?
I'm unbelievable.
I'm in awe at the scheduling. I'm like, how is he in California? He wakes up at 4 a.m.
Like, it's a great origin story, as they say in the Marvel
Universe. Let's
origin
hear it.
Story. My wife and I are going on the train. We're on the Metro North coming from Westchester into the city. I'm wearing a tuxedo. Brooke is wearing an evening gown because we're going to the Radio Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
All right, Jim Rome. Yeah.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Unbelievable class. Right. Jim Rome, Dr. Ruth, Ryan Seacrest, John Tesh, Kevin and Bean. It was wild. And I met Tesh and Rambal Rock and all that stuff. And that's a whole different story. But as we're going into the train on Friday night, it's about 7 o'clock, I start getting some calls from people that I know with DAZN, and they're saying, we're in a bind, such, such, and such. Is there any way you could be at Staples Center tomorrow? And I was like, I'm in New York right now. And I don't even know what the event is.
Up at 4 a.m. that morning.
Yeah. Up at 4 a.m. to catch a flight the next morning. The event was this Logan Paul versus KSI fight at Staples Center.
Right. Now,
do you know who those people are?
Logan Paul, I know, is the guy causes all this trouble on YouTube. I don't know what a KSI is.
Okay. He's kind of like a British Logan Paul.
Okay.
All right. He started in video games and people watch him. And Logan Paul is, I don't know how many million Instagram followers, a huge deal for young people.
Right.
And they're going to fight. Like, right. It's Staples with like 20,000 people. So they said, can you host the pre-show? It's about 4 hours long. And we talked business, and I'm like, I think I'm in. And I jumped on it, and it was fucking wild, man. Because like 10 minutes later, I'm sitting under the Magic Johnson statue outside of Staples Center talking to Dan Bilzerian and all these people. You know who was on the show? You'll love this. The person who was on the show, mere minutes after I'm doing Good Morning Football, I'm in Staples Center, was the young lady from the World Series who bared her chest.
Oh, yeah.
She came on the show.
Julia Rose.
Is that her name?
I think that's her name.
Oh, my God. You're the best. Julian Rose.
Julia
Rose.
Yeah.
And she's on the show. And there was a moment in the broadcast where she was like, should I do it again? And at which point I'm like, this is me, Timberlake, holding the hand. I don't really want to be part of the bare-breasted thing.
She was asking you if she should do it again?
We were on the air together, and there was a moment of should she, and what am I supposed to say? No.
Now, how did you interview this woman? How did you have any?
I didn't personally have to interview her. It was more like the red carpet correspondent was with me on a split screen, and she's talking to her, and they were like, should she do it? And like, part of me is like, of course she should do it.
Right.
Yes, why do you think she's here? And the other part is like, I don't want to be the guy saying, take it off. Like, that's gross.
Right, well, here's my question about that. Yeah. So when that question is presented to you, there is the sort of red-blooded American male in you who wants to say, yes, do it. But you also work for the NFL.
Yes.
Do you have to worry about that when you're doing the other gigs?
Yeah, of course, definitely. I thought about that, for sure.
Yeah.
And like, everybody at DAZN was like, super professional and like incredibly classy and like well supported. Like they had a great operation that night. And yet when I'm sitting there and it's live and they say, should she do it?
Right.
Like I'm trying to think, the better television or entertainment, whatever it is of course she should do it. Yes. Why hasn't she done it yet? That's right. Why she's here.
And that's one of those things where it's live, where if that's taped, you can probably think of a very funny response or right. reaction.
And,
or
and honestly,
comeback.
Jimmy, like yeah. there, I could have thought of a million responses, but I'm like, you know, this is a young woman. Like I'm encouraging her to do this. And I completely stood back and I let them make the decision. And like, I'm kind of frankly glad that she didn't.
I think once you do it once, you really don't need to do it again.
Yeah, I mean, there's pictures, right? I'm pretty sure there's photographs.
Like, you did it at the World Series. Like, now what's the point in doing it?
Right. But, I mean, like, remember when the situation blew up? Like every time the situation was on the red carpet, he would, like, show his abs. And I don't mean a situation.
Right,
I mean
right.
the situation.
Right.
I remember for, like, a straight year, he'd be on the carpet just showing his
abs. Well, it's like the Gronk spike. Like, if you have Gronk, you have to make him spike.
Or, like
how
creative. I want to tell him by his proper name. I think it's Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yeah.
He has to do the GD Carlton. Carlson everywhere he goes. Carlton. So I guess that's her Carlton.
Yeah. That's her Gronk spike. That's her call.
My favorite point part, Jimmy, is that you knew her name.
Well, because
you devil.
I'll tell you after the World Series thing happened, I come into work the next morning, and obviously this is all over the place. And I'm like, am I going to write about this? Is there a media angle to this? And I made the mistake of on my work computer looking up her Instagram.
Would you get flagged for that?
It's not that I would get flagged. I don't want to take the chance that I would get flagged. I don't know. I mean, I looked up her Instagram page and quickly had to get it off my monitor because I don't want someone to walk by and then send me to human resources. But I would just say, if you do look up her Instagram, don't do it in a public space.
But you are down the hall here from the swimsuit offices. I see them everywhere.
I can tell you her Instagram page is a lot more risque than the swimsuit.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that wasn't allowed on Instagram.
She somehow manages.
Really?
Yeah.
There's loopholes?
Yes, I think there are.
Well, I guess if she got it on the World Series, she can get it on Instagram.
Right. She knows what she's doing.
She does.
She knows how to use the media.
She got two big reasons why.
She knows. Yes, exactly. But you behave, so that was good.
But it's a good question. I didn't think about it.
I'm interested. So, but you said that you learned the lesson of not saying yes to everything, but you said yes to that.
Well, that was good. I like that one. There's other things, too. Even last year, even last season, during the NFL season, I had my own show. I had the NFL Network with my name in the title. It's like what everybody's always fighting for. And at the end of the season, like I was thrilled that we had finished it because it was too much.
It was
too much to do the morning show. And like I got a 6-year-old and I have a 3-year-old and I'm extremely involved. And so that thing that you see in the movie where the guy's on his cell phone too much and never had time for love or whatever it is, like that becomes you. I'm sitting there, Jimmy, and my son is literally coming up to me and saying, Daddy, will you play catch with me? That's the sentence. And I'm on my phone writing something about Patrick Mahomes and I say, I can't right now. And then I'm like, I hate that guy.
Right.
You become the guy in the movie.
Right.
And that was me last year.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't want to just sit here and kiss your ass the whole time, but I'm going to kiss your ass. No, because I'm always, one of the things I struggle with is you got to keep up with every single thing that goes on in the NFL. I sort of cover the sports media, but I got to still keep up with what's going on in sports. And then there's all the pop culture stuff that I think we both like a lot. And, you know, like we were talking about beforehand, whether we saw The Irishman, that's a 3.5-hour investment. And then you have kids on top of that. Yeah. So I'm always in awe at how much you can keep up with the job and the family. And what I like about it, too, is I love the story you told this week on Good Morning Football about your son's birthday party.
That was really funny.
And you were like, should I tell this? I was like, of course you should tell this story. Of course.
Yeah, the story was, quickly, we were talking about, let's bring it back to sports. We're talking about the Packers.
Right.
And how good are they and can you trust them? And I said, like, a few weeks ago, they lost really badly to the Niners. They just got absolutely killed.
They got their asses kicked.
And so I said, this past weekend, my son Calvin turned 6, and the night before his birthday party, he was up all night. He kept waking up, kept coming into a room because he was so excited. My party's tomorrow. The party's going to be at the slime store where you make slime. It's a cute little thing. And we get out of the car, and Brooke and I are holding balloons and a giant sheet cake and holding hands, and we're walking in, and Calvin is so excited, jumping up and down, that as we're about to walk into the slime store, he pukes all over the sidewalk. Just throws up. He's not sick. He's just so excited he throws up.
Nerves.
And the whole birthday party, he kept coming up to me and saying, Daddy, my mouth tastes bad. So I'm giving him cake. I'm giving him grape juice, everything to wash that taste out. And to me, that is how I feel about the Green Bay Packers. And no matter what I do, I can't wash the taste of that Niners loss out of my mouth. So this is the kind of thing we talk about in Good Morning Football. We relate my son vomiting to Aaron Rodgers losing to the Niners.
And the reason I like the show so much is that when you told that story, the two things that are in my head are that I feel the same way about the Packers. Mm-hmm. I do a gambling podcast here as well. And like last week, I was like, that loss to the Niners was so bad, I can't get it out of my head. And I have a 9-year-old niece who's obsessed with the slime. So when you told that story, has ruined my jeans with the slime.
Slime's everywhere now. It's very hot.
I bought a pair of jeans that were like $70 or $80. And I had to return them or exchange them or whatever. Had them on my dining room table to exchange them. And then the next day I go to exchange them and they're covered in slime.
Really?
Yeah.
The $80
jeans? Yeah.
Wow. Silver Tabs makes $80 now? Wow. Yeah.
So like this, I related to the slime because it's...
Slime's everywhere, Jim.
You let your kids play with it in the house?
Remember in the 80s, slime blew up because of Ghostbusters.
Right.
It was everywhere. It's back now.
Yeah, big.
So much so that there's small businesses based just on making slime. And here's the good news. The slime industry has come a long way in terms of not clinging to walls, not clinging to... I don't know what kind got on your $80 jeans.
Not good.
But the kind that my kids brought home is all right. And I made sure it was. And I'll tell you why. God damn it, I'm not having other kids at the party bring home their slime to their houses
and have those
people be like, the bleeping Brandt family killed us with the slime.
Yeah.
So this slime is fine. You could sleep with it. It'll come right off. It's fine.
Yeah. I'm going to switch gears. You mentioned Rome at the Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's another reason why I'm a big... Kyle Brandt fanboy. The career path.
Uh-huh.
The Real World, Days of Our Lives,
yes.
Producer of the Jim Rome Show, Good Morning Football, and now all the side gigs. That is, to me, as good a resume as it gets.
It's very strange. It's very, you know, that DAZN thing that I did, excuse me, when I was talking to, you know, Jake Paul or whoever it was. A couple people were tweeting at me like, this goes on another bullet on the weirdest resume ever. To be clear, not the best resume by far. It's not the worst,
but
weirdest.
Yeah.
And you know what? You and I have talked about this before. There's one peg on that resume that some people lament that is not on it, which is the Real World Challenge, which I never did. And obviously at this point never will do. And people are like, why not?
I was going to say, why are you saying you would never do it? Off season, maybe, if they're taping?
Well, when the Real World happened, I was extremely... coming out of that, I feel like it was like getting home from NAMM or something. Like, I was so rattled. Like, I was very stressed. I lost a lot of weight. It was a very stressful experience. And then they call you 5 minutes later and say, hey, you want to jump back in and do the challenge? And I just said, no. I'm going to go, and I'm going to be Marlon Brando. I'm going to be an actor. I wanted to get away from that. But it's funny now, later in life, Jimmy, is that, like, it comes up occasionally, and I start to think, like, you know what? I got nothing to prove to anybody. What if I went down to Cabo and tried to throw some rings on a stick and tried to win a dirt bike? There could be worse things. And if I ever start to think, maybe it'd be fun, I catch one of those promos for like this season on the challenge. And it's just a stream of like guys in bandanas, like on HGH, punching each other and like night vision making out and three-way kisses. And I'm like, that looks like hell.
Yeah,
I'm 40.
Yeah.
No.
Married would be tough to do that.
No way.
But like Johnny Bananas has a whole career at it. Do you know him? Are you friends with
him? I think I met him once. But that's the GOAT though, right? That's the guy.
Yeah, made a whole career.
If it's your career, God bless you. But like for me to just drop in, first of all, my ego couldn't handle like just getting annihilated by some of those people. I'd probably get destroyed.
Right.
Not looking to hook up.
I'm
basically looking to hook up, punch people.
And win money.
Yeah, what am I doing there?
Right.
Like I've joked on Good Morning Football, I've said on the air, I'm like, 200,000 cash, first class travel, I'll do it.
I think once you have kids, you can't go on the challenge.
Well, I'm sure that's a rule that's been broken, right?
I'm sure.
They probably have kids together.
But I'm saying that should... Right. But I'm saying that shouldn't... Like, once you have kids, that should eliminate you from the challenge.
There's certain things in life that you shouldn't do when you reach a certain point.
Right.
Like, I used to wear bandanas like they do, like wrap around. Like, I like Deion, so I used to wear... I don't do that anymore. I haven't done a beer funnel in a long
time. You could do it, like,
time.
In the gym, right? If you're in the gym, can you wear a bandana?
A bandana? Red bandana, it's tough. I don't know. But go on the challenge. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, there's definitely things once your age has that 4 as the first number.
Do you have that? I don't even know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Unfortunately.
1979 for me, baby.
Do you find it... But your cast are contemporaries. Like here at SI, we're talking about, like I have all like... Everyone who works here is like 25, 26.
And it kills you.
It's rough. It's rough.
Do you ever... Because you tweet about this sometimes.
Yeah.
Are you aware... And or do you care about being like old guy, annoying old guy, whatever boomer, okay boomer? You worry about that?
I think you have to make it. I try to like not be totally like, I try not to be like my dad who will call me and be like, my AOL is broken. You know, I'm not that bad.
I can't log on, son, right, to the World Wide Web.
I mean, I downloaded TikTok and didn't know what the fuck was going on.
That's funny.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know what was going on. I asked Chris Chavez, who works here, who's like 25, to help me with this. And he's like, it would take me a full day to explain it to you.
You know what?
And I felt so low. But then I make fun of them for not, you know, they don't get Seinfeld references. And then I go on Twitter and embarrass them about it. I had someone, what was the movie? Stanley Kay, he's right there. He sits right there. He's one of our editors. He said he never saw Goodfellas. Like, to me, that's just not humane.
Goodfellas was in 1991 or something like that?
I'm sorry.
But I don't know if you had this. You mentioned your dad.
Yeah.
Like, growing up, my mom used to always be like, you haven't seen, you know, Midnight Express or Out of Africa. I'm like, Mom, I'm watching Return of the Jedi. Like, leave me alone.
Right.
Here's what I like about that, though, your angle on it and why you tweet about it.
Yeah.
As it pertains to media members. Now that I've been in this game a while, what I really gravitate to in terms of people I watch on TV, people I consume, I love authenticity.
Right.
I can smell a poser a mile away. And I look at Howard Stern. He doesn't pretend that he knows sports. He doesn't pretend he knows this.
Right.
He's like, look, I'm an old guy. This is what I know. And I'm not going to try. I see people trying and you can see through it instantly.
Right.
I don't like that at all.
I have something in my head that I'm debating on whether or not I should say it, and I know I shouldn't. But
when is it live? Let's just say it. Come on, I'll help you through it.
So I agree with what you just said. To me, the reason I do it is because the last thing I want to do is be an old guy who's trying to come across as young.
Can't do
you
it.
Can't, I don't want to do that, and I think it's, and especially for what I do, where I'm sort of criticizing broadcasters or media. Like, yeah. I just like, this is me. This is the deal. I'm old. I don't know that, you know. And like you said, authenticity. Just be honest. Now I'm gonna say this. I love the guy.
Go on.
I think he's the GOAT. I think this podcast doesn't exist without him. I don't even think my career exists without him. I love the guy. Mm-hmm. And this is not let me preface it. But I will say, when I saw Bill Simmons tweet it, and I know you like him too, and you go on the podcast,
sure.
So you don't have to react.
What do you tweet?
But when I've seen him tweet about like playing Fortnite, I cringe.
Okay. But this is what I would ask, and I don't know the details of this.
Right.
Does he do it like with his kids or his nephews?
He probably does it with his kids, but for me, it comes across as like, everyone's doing this, so let me, you know. Because I don't know,
does
anyone over like, you know, 25 play Fortnite?
This is the crux of the matter.
Do you play Fortnite?
I don't play, but I tried it. And it's this, neither one of us want to be the old guy pretending to be young.
Right.
But you also want to be plugged in.
Well, that's right.
I don't say screw it. I'm old. I'm just going to stick to Seinfeld and Goodfellas. That's it. I love Pearl Jam. Well, great. But like, there's new things happening. So, here's the thing. When Fortnite was like the hottest thing in the NFL, and players are doing celebrations, and I'm like, I don't know what the hell this is. So I downloaded on my phone. There's a computer version and a phone version. And I played, and I made a guy, and I ran around, and I hated it, and then I tried it. So I'm like, I have played. I kind of get it, and I was out.
Right.
So. I don't know if Bill doing it, and I'm not here to apologize for Bill. I don't know if he does it because he likes it or he does it to stay involved. I don't know.
I don't think he was doing it as like old guy trying to be young. I don't think that's what it was. I think he was trying to do it for like Ringer content, and I think the Ringer was covering it. And
well, what's the Steve Buscemi meme? The one where he goes, what it do, cool kids, and he's got the backpack on, and it's from Mr. Deeds or something. I think it's from.
Yeah.
That's big right now.
Yeah.
So. I think it's a matter of like, don't be fake.
Right.
Because it comes up all the time. We have. You know, we've had some young rappers on Good Morning Football lately. I don't pretend to know.
We've had
people are talking about all these terms that the terms are big too. These phrases they use.
Oh yeah.
Like people are saying something recently, like, "Oh, he sunned him," like SON D.
Yeah, yeah.
That seems to be a hot phrase. That like I'm not going to say someone got sunned.
Right.
I don't even want to say shade. And yet, I bet you have. I bet it's come out.
Right.
Because I've said it too. Because it becomes popular.
Right.
I've said shade.
Right.
So. It's a tricky thing. I look, there's a lot of people in the media that I respect that I think play the game authentically. Like Scott Van Pelt, I think is authentic.
Totally.
He knows what he is. He knows he's maybe like a little bit nerdy, but he's razor sharp and very cool. And he doesn't try to be like a super hip badass.
Right.
He's just like a really fun, smart guy. And like, I think he comes across as authentic. I think there's a bunch of people who are huge posers who try, whether it be on podcasts or national television, to like play off like they know something.
Want
to
name names? You don't. I'm only kidding. Don't name names. Don't name names.
No, don't name names. But you see those people.
I agree.
They could be so funny and so talented, and the second that they come across as disingenuous, it kills me.
Well, I'll tell you what kills me. When I'll interview someone, and we'll have a good interview, but it's nothing. Fantastic, and they're giving me the corporate answers, and then like they'll DM me, and they'll be, a totally different person. I'm like, well, where was this on the podcast?
Okay. And they're like, well, that I didn't want to say
right,
it and everything.
Right, right.
I also really like people who don't worry about being cool. And if you see me on the show, I'm not trying to look cool. I can make an imbecile of myself.
Right.
And I remember, back to the Van Pelt thing, I remember I talked to someone who worked for ESPN once who used to work on all those This Is Sports Center commercials.
Right, right.
And they were like, Scott will do anything. Like, anything we ask him to do, we put him in a leotard, we have him look like an imbecile, he'll do it, he's down, he's just down. And you see that with guests,
yeah.
And you see that with people in the media. Like, I love people who are up for anything,
yeah,
who
yeah,
don't
yeah.
show up with a million, this is off limits, this is off limits, and it's becoming more and more rare, the
yeah.
people who just like, ask me anything you want. And I think Van Pelt is that, and yeah. I think there's a few guests who can do anything.
I agree.
But they're few and far between.
Yeah, and I get it, because it's also, you know, you got to be super careful these days, and you know, one wrong word and you're done.
I know.
There's no net, there's no chance for a second chance. It's you know, it's you're done. And I even had it, I'll give you another one from, we'll get your take on this. Because
mm-hmm.
this ties into the old Hot Clicks days, what I'm doing now, and then it also ties into old people trying to be cool.
Yeah.
Did you see two or three nights ago, what's today? Today's Wednesday. I think it was, Sunday night maybe?
Okay.
Lizzo.
What is this thing?
Okay.
I've seen the word
so
Lizzo.
So she's a rapper.
Before.
She's a singer.
It's a female rapper, Lizzo.
Hottest singer of the year, basically.
What's her deal? So, obviously, I'm not pretending. I don't know.
No, there's no deal. She's.
What's her deal? Why is she in the news?
She went to the Laker game Sunday or Monday night without basically wearing pants.
So she wore like a tiny leotard?
A thong.
Or something?
A thong. And then got on the Jumbotron dancing.
Okay.
So she's a large woman. And what happened on Twitter was the wrestler Rikishi started trending, was the number one trending topic on Twitter.
Rikishi, male or female?
Male.
Okay.
Because everyone was saying, because her thong that she wore uh-huh. was the same thong that Rikishi wore when he was in the WWE. And they and there was similar, their look from the waist down was similar.
Rikishi, African-American? I don't know Rikishi.
He's Hawaiian, I believe, because he's
so
family with The Rock.
So people comparing the two of them and they say they look like each other?
From the waist down. It was more about the thong that they wore. Rikishi's finishing move was taking his ass, which was in a thong, and shoving it in his opponent's
what
face.
What era was this? Attitude era? Like,
Yeah. And there's a really famous skit that you should watch on YouTube. I've posted it a million times, but you should. Vince McMahon at one point had the Kiss My Ass Club.
Okay.
Where he would make every week a wrestler or someone in the WWE come out and kiss his ass.
Physically do it?
Yes. And The Rock then decided to put an end to the Kiss My Ass Club.
Okay.
And the payoff, you know, in wrestling there's always a payoff. They call it a blow off. The Rock comes out and first he brought out someone, I forgot who it was. And he said, The Rock was like, I'm putting an end to the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club tonight. You're going to kiss someone's ass, and we're going to end this. And, you know, he's threatening physical violence on Vince if Vince doesn't kiss someone's ass.
Sure.
So he brings someone out first. I think it was Jim Ross, the announcer, because Vince had made Jim Ross kiss his ass.
So he had the cowboy hat and everything?
Right, right. And Vince goes to kiss JR. You know, The Rock is basically going to make Vince kiss JR's bare ass, and then The Rock stops it.
Okay.
And then he brings out Trish Stratus, who's an incredibly attractive woman.
Sure.
And now Vince is getting all excited, and he thinks he's going to kiss Trish Stratus' ass.
This is so
and
bad.
Right when Vince's lips are about a centimeter from Trish Stratus' ass, The Rock puts his hand there in between and says, no, that's not the ass you're going to kiss.
Oh my God.
This is the ass you're going to kiss. And then Rikishi comes out.
Okay.
And The Rock takes Vince McMahon's head, billionaire owner of the company, and shoves it into Rikishi's ass. So anyway,
did you ask The Rock about this when he came on your podcast?
I will say this. You just set me up. I tweeted that video once and was like, this was like peak WWE. The Rock retweeted, quote tweeted.
What did he say?
And was like, this was some of the funnest shit I've ever done in my
life. Really?
Yeah.
He loved it.
Loved it.
Oh, that's great.
I'll find the tweet.
Do you follow 90s WWE on Twitter?
Yes.
It's a great account.
It's a phenomenal
All they
account.
Do is this ridiculous moments like that. And I love 90s are my thing. So
yeah,
early
yeah, yeah.
90s. That's great.
There's a bunch of accounts, wrestling accounts, that tweet all the old videos.
I know.
Really good.
They're gems.
I love when you did Let's Kiss Kyle's Ass Again.
Come on.
You
I'm
did
a Rikishi, baby.
The George Kittle thing, and you dropped every wrestling finishing
that was
move.
Fun.
That
well,
was fun. Now, wait. Written, ad lib, planned out. When you.
I thought ahead of time. But I mean, I know him. Like, if you,
right.
So what Jimmy's talking about,
yeah,
is George Kittle had that massive run against the Saints on 4th and 2 when he stiff-armed half the Superdome and nobody could bring him down. And I recapped it on the show as part of the Angry Run segment the next week. And I know that Kittle's a huge wrestling guy. So I tried to make – and I know he also watches the segment because he's told me. So as he's stiff-arming all these Saints, I just – every single one I could think of, whether it was – you know, DDT, RKO, Diamond Cutter, Big Leg, Gorilla Press, Rude Awakening, Million Dollar Dream, whatever it was. I don't even know what it was. Oh, yes, look at now. Jimmy's giving me the gif. Oh, my God, he got way in there.
That's and Vince. Vince
is a robust gentleman.
Yeah.
Wow, that's way in there.
Yeah.
He's going to get pink eye.
The guy's a billionaire, owns the company, and that's what he's doing.
And this was the entertainment. This is obviously before it became family-oriented.
Like, you know, 99 maybe.
They look like the human centipede. This is an incredible thing. Anybody listening to this, if you Google it, what did you even type into Google?
Rock Vince Rikishi.
And it's R-I-K-I-S-H-I. Just be careful doing it at work because that's gross. That's incredible, though.
He's in there. Yes. George Kittle.
Did you have a favorite finishing move?
Oh, God. Well, I'll tell you, I used to love when Flair did the figure four.
You like the submission?
I used to do it to my brother, and it really hurt.
You always tried. Did you know how to do it properly? There was no
You could break someone's leg doing it properly.
Yeah.
If you put the pressure on, you could really break someone's leg.
Because I like the sharpshooter from Bret Hart, which is a similar deal, submission. And then I also like the Boston Crab, because I always got a kick out of Rick the Model Martel, and he would do it.
The Boston Crab is good.
Boston Crab is great. But my favorite finishing move was the Perfect Plex from Mr. Perfect. Because it was just cool. It was a suplex that went directly into a pin.
Yeah.
And I liked it, and had a good name, and I love Mr. Perfect.
I've gone through this on Twitter, and I always get ripped for it by these Hogan fanboys. When I was a kid, and I'm talking young, like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I was always more into the Mr. Perfects, the Rick Rudes, the Roddy Pipers than Hogan.
And I bet you like DiBiase. Like,
loved them.
They were fantastic.
Yeah, the kid with the basketball. I mean, that skit is just the greatest.
When Mr. Perfect throws the ball to himself and then runs and catches this dramatic music. Absolutely perfect. I love them.
I mean, Rick Rude. What I want right now is for all. I mean, it's
all you fat. And so when I take off my robe to see what a real man looks like, he basically would get up in like Camden, New Jersey.
Right.
Hey, all you fat losers, look at perfection. God, it was so good.
And the crowd would go nuts.
Ravishing Rick. And then he would just, oh my God, make love to the ring. And they would take the robe off. And he had this incredible body, of course.
Right.
They all did then. And of course, he's dead now. But I loved Rick Rude too. It was one of the first matches I ever fell in love with pro wrestling. Was Rude versus Warrior in a steel cage. I think I probably have it wrong. It's a SummerSlam, maybe around 89, and I just loved Rude. He was awesome. I loved the villains too.
Yeah, they were
I mean, Hogan was fine.
He
was
so boring
McDonald's.
After. It was the same thing. Exactly.
Even the same colors. I mean, it was the same thing.
Same
over
shit
and over.
Every
right.
week. Yeah. Get back to George Kittle.
Yeah, so Kittle, I just tried to rip off every finishing move I could think of. And I know I left a bunch of them out, and then people started tweeting me finishing moves that I forgot about.
That's annoying. Yeah.
So Kittle's got this incredible run right now, and we're going to send him a crown for our Angry Run segment, and we're going to send him a special gift that he requested.
Let's actually do like a real serious question answer about Angry Runs, because this is – so you've built this phenomenal thing here with it. I mean,
it's
Nate
really
has the toe drag swag, and Kate and Peter do that. Kay and Peter do that is, but Angry Runs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tess mentions it on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it was amazing.
What? So, let's do this first. The Kittle thing happens.
Yeah,
is your Twitter just completely haywire?
Yeah, it's really cool. Like I have, it's almost like I have a street team
because you got two things going on. You have the regular viewers who are into it, and the players now are into it.
It's really become a thing. Yeah, so, 3 years ago, I started a segment on Good Morning Football called Angry Runs, which is just. Every week, you pick three runs where somebody runs somebody over or stiff arms them. It's like the most physically dominant runs of the week. Any ball carrier could be a guy after an interception, tight end, running back, whatever. And then we pick one. And in the end, then we send them this crown that we had this guy in Russia make. And they send it and they wear it and they take a picture. You know what it is? And I've stumbled upon this. It's kind of a new version of when they used to do the jacked up segment on ESPN, which everybody loved, in which they had to stop doing because people were getting headshots and it was completely out of line.
Right.
So we've taken that sort of, I guess you could call it like bloodlust that the NFL fan still has, but we've cleaned it up because the only rule we have on Angry Runs is that if somebody gets hurt, we don't use it.
Okay.
If somebody has to leave the game, we don't use it. It's just good old clean physical football and like... It's such a taboo now in so many ways that you don't want to see the hit and everything's flagged and you can't do this, you can't do that. It's living proof every Tuesday morning at Good Morning Football that the NFL is still physical as hell. Guys still get humiliated. They still get run over. But then they get up and play the next down. So right. It has become this really cool thing where Joe Tessitore mentions it on Monday Night Football and players are tweeting, I want it. And Mark Ingram says, I'm going to take the crown and put it on top of my Heisman. It's awesome.
Which player has been the most into it? Is it Kittle or Ingram? Which player has been the most?
Mark Ingram inspired the segment 3 years ago. Okay. We did a whole thing about, you know, the toughest runners, and I said Ingram was the guy, and then we K'd the segment. But Kittle, I don't want to give Kittle away, but he has been very hands-on and yeah. very involved, and he really wants – because, you know, Kittle, bring it back to pro wrestling, he's the closest crossover we have right now,
right.
pro wrestler and football player.
Right.
The Rock's tweeted at him. He's a huge Steve Austin guy. So, like, he really is into doing the promos, yeah. and that's the idea of winning the Angry Runs. It might as well be Mean Gene interviewing him while he gets right. the trophy. So Mark Ingram from the Ravens has been on it and inspired it. But Kittle, if you watch next week, like, I think he's going to really bring the house down.
He's so good for football. We need more George Kittles for sure. I love the guy.
This guy from Iowa, yeah. his name's George. It's yep. just, like, kind of relatable to some people, middle America maybe, and he's just great.
And the wrestling thing is, like, he's legit diehard.
Yeah.
Legit. I wanted to get him. I worked with his people because I wanted him to cover WrestleMania last year. Was in Jersey.
I remember.
The dump, what's it called? MetLife.
Okay.
And we wanted him to, like, cover it for SI. It just, logistically, it wasn't working out. But, like, he, you know, he's legit into it. All right, so give me, you asked me the Timberlake, Pratt.
Yeah, yeah.
Brady question. Here's okay. So give me. I want power rankings, not pick one. I want you to rank them, best to worst.
Go on.
Vance McDonald last year.
Yeah.
Kittle on Sunday, and I'll do total recency bias. And what I mean, I jumped out of my couch Thanksgiving night. The Matt Ryan got what was the guy?
Shy Tuttle.
Give me power rank those three.
All right. You're talking Vance McDonald last season against the Buccaneers when he threw Chris Conte into Bolivian, as they say. Shy Tuttle is a defensive lineman for the Saints who stiff-armed Matt Ryan, and then you want Kittle against the Saints.
Yeah,
I'll give it to you right now. Shy Tuttle's in at number 3. He had a 90-pound weight advantage on Matt Ryan, and it was a quarterback, so I loved it, but he'll be 3. And I'm going to go Kittle at 2 because there were 3 Saints that tried to tackle him. The only way they could get him down is they actually tried to rip his head yeah. off. It was really brutal. And the reason I go Vance McDonald at number 1, yes, he stiff-armed Chris Conte, which has – they have a long YouTube wormhole of Chris Conte getting stiff-armed. And one of them in particular is to a ludicrous song, and not a nice ludicrous song. One's about a means of aggress for a young lady. But Vance McDonald changed the segment. It used to be serialized, meaning – every week, it used to be like ESPN would do not top plays or whatever, where if Vance McDonald, the Steelers tight end, won, he has to be taken out the next week. And you could go for 6 weeks until you found a better one. We were never going to find a better one than that.
Right.
And if you're listening right now, just type in Vance McDonald stiff arm and you'll see the play I'm talking about. He kind of broke the segment
right.
where I'm like, we have to stop. And I remember when back in the day when ESPN would do the not top 10, the butt fumble had like a 6-month run. And I was so funny. I would always tune in. It was like the season was well over. It was like basically summer, and Mark Sanchez is still running into that guy's butt. And finally, someone at ESPN made a decision. They're like, we're ending it. We're retiring it. It's gone on too long.
Right.
So the Vance McDonald stiff arm went on for 6 or 7 weeks, and then we're like, we got to do something new. So now it's not carried over. It's just every single week. So
right,
Vance
right.
is number 1. That's right. the best I've ever seen.
I agree with you that that's the best one, but I have to say my favorite is probably the Shay Tuttle because of the reason you said, because he has like the 100-pound weight advantage.
So funny.
The way he just shoved him
His
aside.
Name was Shy Tuttle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Matt Ryan, who's an MVP in this yeah. league, and it just got done, and it was on Thanksgiving, and everyone's watching.
Right, right.
It was really funny.
Yeah. We're going to wrap up soon. Before we do, is there anything we should plug for you? Is there any do you guys know your Super Bowl plans for Good Morning Football?
Yeah, we'll be in Miami. We'll be down there. I don't know where our set is, if we're going to be, you know, in Don Johnson suits and white Ferraris like Nate, or if
I'm
we'll just
sure
be there
will.
Doing our thing. We usually have a long show there. We usually do 4-hour shows. We'll probably be part of the NFL honors on Saturday night at some point. At least I hope we were last year. That's a great night.
Yeah.
I mean, last year I got to be on the like one of the red carpet hosts last year. I'd never done that before. You know, you watch these people your whole life, and I grew up watching Entertainment Tonight and John Pesci and Mary Hart, and then there I am.
And Nate's doing it now.
Yeah, no, Nate does it. Nate does it extra.
Extra, yeah.
And he's interviewing Pacino and De Niro and stuff. But it's one of those things you watch your whole life, and then you're doing it. You're like, wow, I'm the guy saying, who are you excited to see tonight?
Right.
And I got to, you know, we got to talk to Aaron Rodgers and Paul Rudd, who's our buddy now. And so hopefully we'll get to do that. And then next year in the 2020. All right. I'm going to probably get into the podcast game, so I won't come on your show anymore because I'll have to compete with you.
Right.
That's it. This is our last conversation, Jim.
Terrible.
That's
it's
it.
Ridiculous.
It's tough, too, because you talked about getting into the podcast game, and it's just like you could go on a city bus right now in New York, and like 19 passengers on that bus have a podcast.
Right.
All of them. And you got to cut through the clutter.
You'll be good because you're, like we said, if you're authentic, you're going to be good.
I hope.
The hardest thing is just, you know, is getting people to actually just try it out and listen. That's the hardest thing. I think once you can get people to listen, they come back. It's just you got to get that initial. And like you said, there's just this competition.
It drives me crazy. I'm self-deprecating about it because I'm like, how many people are like, oh, you have a podcast? Oh, no, I listen to my podcast. Everybody has podcasts. So for me to, when and if I come out and say, hey, Twitter, I have a podcast now, I can just almost feel like the eyes rolling. I'm almost self-conscious about it because there's just so many.
Yeah.
And to your point, how do you keep up with everything?
Right.
I'm listening to this one. I'm listening to this one. I only have so many hours in the day, and I got to watch The Mandalorian.
Well, right. That's the that you're really going to...
It's work.
You're really going to think that's a problem when you have the podcast.
Yeah.
In terms of... I had Katie Nolan on a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about the podcast game. And
she says Red Zone Channel is porn, right?
She did say that.
That's a great
take. And you know I don't like the Red Zone Channel, and that's a whole other...
I watch it every Sunday.
Don't get me started on it. I feel bad, like, because Cincinnati came on, and he was great. It's not that... It's just... The Red Zone Channel is a phenomenal product. It's not for me because I watched Game Mix for 20 years. That's
Remind
my
me,
stance.
And you are a DirecTV guy.
Not anymore. That's why...
You guys divorced?
That's why I had to watch Red Zone this year.
So you went to Scott Hansen from Siciliano.
No, I never watched it. I never watched Siciliano.
Why?
Because I watched Game Mix.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Game Mix.
I would watch all the games.
I see. That's extra for that, right? You pay extra or something?
No.
I just
it's part
Red
of the
Zone.
Packet. Yes. Yeah. Okay. No. So you... I know. I watch Game Mix. Anyway... I don't want to rehash that because everyone gets so worked up about this.
People like their Red Zone.
Okay, but I don't need to see any plays from Jets Dolphins last week. I know their whole thing is, their whole shtick is we're going to show you every touchdown, every scoring play.
I know what you mean.
I don't need to see a field goal from the Dolphins to make it, no offense, Harry's a Dolphin fan, he's my producer sitting here. I don't need to see a field goal that makes it 16-13 when the Saints are playing the Niners. I don't need it.
You speak this language. Is there not a gambling angle to that? Certainly a fantasy angle.
Yes.
I think maybe they're serving those masters.
That's who they are. That's
because
who they're serving.
I felt the same way.
Right.
Because I'm like, I don't gamble on sports, and like I don't really care that much about fantasy. So I'm like,
first time you've ever said something I don't like. All right, go ahead.
I don't. Right. I don't. Okay. Not into it. You know, there's certain things, Jimmy.
I know. Everyone has their vices.
No, but there's certain things in like the cool guy code that like I don't do. Like I don't care for poker and I don't gamble.
I don't do poker.
And like I'm not a very good golfer, but like I don't hit everything.
Right.
I don't gamble. But I want to watch Ravens Niners too. I do. I don't care about that game. And yet I think there's a lot of people who have action on Dolphins Jets.
Right.
Or maybe they just stick to their code of like if there's a score we're on.
Yeah, yeah. What I said was it caters to the fantasy audience. They do a phenomenal job of catering to those audience. It's just I want to see
end of the season. Maybe beginning of the season, Jets, Dolphins, everyone's alive, everything's relevant. Now, like, it's two terrible teams. Like, would you rather show Lamar Jackson on his own 20-yard line rather than the Jets trying to punch it in?
Okay, so you just hit the nail right directly on the head. So what I did last week, for instance, is I go to a sports bar for the first half.
Okay.
And get sort of a lay of the land. And then I rush home at halftime.
Okay.
And I fire up Illegal Streams, and Saints Niners was on TV.
Okay.
So I had Saints Niners on one TV. I had the Ravens Bills on the computer because that was the other best game, and then I had Red Zone on the second TV.
Mm-hmm.
So in that situation, I'm looking for like, okay, just keep me updated on like, you know, what's going on around the league. But like when they go to the field goal of a Jet Dolphin game, it just throws me off.
I think that sometimes they're like, well, we have four games on, and like two of them are at commercial,
right?
And what I like is when they go to commercial, they always cut away.
Right.
I think there's a purity there about, look, we can sit here and show you a commercial or we can show you a Jets field
goal. That's fine. That's fine. But getting back to Katie and I were talking about the pods, and I said to her, I think the biggest problem in the podcast game, besides the glut of them, is that I do listen to a lot of them where you can just tell people are trying to copy PMT because it's the number one podcast in the universe.
They try to copy them how?
just they try to do their shtick, their segments, their, you know. So my only advice would be don't try to copy anything they do because they're the best at it, and then it makes no sense for people to copy it. But other than if you're yourself, you'll be fine
because you can talk about anything.
Are you gonna have like a co-host?
No, yeah. But I'm gonna have a unique format.
Okay,
like my podcast will never be. I'm just gonna sit down and tell you what I think about what's going on this week, or I'm gonna bring in a friend. And we're gonna tell stories. I actually have a whole angle
format
I want to do. Yeah, but you're good at it, Jimmy. You asked Mike Florio about 9/11. It was very insightful.
You love that question.
I did. I thought it was very academic. And I think Mike even said, he's like, wow, I've never been asked that before.
Right.
And Mike's done a lot of interviews, I'm sure. That's pretty cool. I was proud of you.
I don't know if you're being serious.
I'm dead serious.
Okay.
I'm proud of you.
I'll take it. What was I going to say? Oh, Chris Long has a great podcast that's new. If you want, like,
is that
you would have his, you would have his vibe. He's doing it on his own. He's starting his own media company. But you would like the vibe of it. And I think you're in that vibe where he's not like a rah-rah, I'm gonna try so hard to be funny. It's all dry humor, one liner, and he's very funny. And it's he keeps you entertained because you don't know where he's going.
He's got takes in sushi on the airports.
Oh, he's got takes on everything.
Yeah,
he's got takes on everything, which is why he's.
Can
good.
I tell you something?
You have takes
too?
On everything too.
I got some takes.
That's why you're good.
Kyle Long is starting to get really good on Twitter too, and I don't mean starting to get good in the sense he's doing it. I mean he's deactivated, so he's not playing.
Right.
So he's tweeting more, and he's got some of that same thing going. So I actually was impressed with him too.
Yeah.
But I like Chris Long, of course. Who doesn't?
Yeah. His pod is good. What else? So Super Bowl, anything, what, any side gigs going on? You got the podcast 2020.
Yeah, I got side gigs, but I don't feel like plugging.
What do you think about in, not this Saturday, but the next Saturday? Wait, what do you mean you have side gigs? You don't feel like plugging?
Whatever.
Say it.
I'm taking my son to my gym and he's going to go on the trampoline. It's going to be fantastic.
That's
no,
good.
Whatever.
That's a good,
I'm not here to plug.
That's the most important gig.
Jim, we all know the reason I'm here.
What's
that? Because you were really desperate for a guest. And so I
I told you. I wanted.
Don't lie to your listeners.
This is my last formatted interview format pod of the year. And I'm like, I just want to shoot the shit with someone I like.
A couple weeks from now, I'm going to Tampa, and I'm going to be on, you know, that pirate ship they got in their goddamn stadium? I'm going to be on that, and we're going to be doing a thing for the network there. It's Kay and me.
Oh, is that the Saturday?
Yeah.
I was just going to ask you, what do you think about those three
Oh, I love it.
I love when they have that Saturday.
I wish we had it every single weekend.
Me too.
It's just sit there, and I have so many memories. I feel like it's always the Texans playing a Saturday playoff game, and it's like TJ Yates versus the Bengals.
Right.
This is Saturday regular
season.
Well, they
got Bills-Patriots is the 4:30 game that game.
Incredible
and then the first one is Bucks against
Texans. Okay. Texans will probably be playing for the playoff lives.
Right.
And I've been told that we're going to get to fire the cannon on that ship. And, like, I'm totally in for that.
Are you guys doing the game?
No. We're doing, like, the whole
pre-game. They should have you do one of those games. Aren't all three games on NFL Network?
I think they are.
You
I haven't been properly briefed, so I'm not plugging it well. But, like, I think you're right.
They should have the four of you doing one of the... Like, NFL Network had the Eisen crew.
Rich is doing the Texan game that day, so he'll be in Tampa,
You guys should have been doing one of those games.
I don't disagree with
the
you.
The four of you.
Rich will do it capably, I'm sure, but we should have done the other one. And meanwhile, I'm going to be on the pirate ship doing a doubloon jokes, so that'll be fun. A lot of jokes about booty.
Yeah. The Bucks, Texans, all right, that's a good game.
No, it's not, Jimmy. The Texans part of it is compelling.
The Bucks are fun to watch. Because Jameis is such a mess, it's fun to watch.
It's a fascinating
train wreck.
Watch.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so fascinating because, especially, all right, this is why I would watch. I'll say this quickly. As they end the season, Jameis is doing that thing where he's playing just well enough. He's playing too well. Where if you're a Bucs fan, you almost are rooting against him because if he plays well enough, they're like, we kind of got to keep him.
Right.
He just throws so many interceptions, and they're actually humorous interceptions. So I actually find him one of the more entertaining players in the league because it's never boring.
Right.
It's never boring. So we'll have that.
The third game that night is Rams-Niners.
That's a great game too.
So let me ask you this question. Yeah. Because of your job, you've gotten to know a lot of NFL players.
Uh-huh.
Do you root for players now when you watch these games?
Yeah.
More than the teams or the teams because of the players?
I kind of have a different deal.
If I said to you right now, Kyle Brandt, who do you want to win the Super Bowl this year?
Want?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, it would be amazing if the guy lifting the Lombardi trophy, it was Kirk Cousins. Oh, that would be the funniest,
because you like him personally and you've gotten to know him.
Yes, I think he's a great guy. And I also think just the storyline is so good.
Funny story. I don't know if you care if I tell this
story.
I do,
of course. What do you got?
No. When they won a big game, I forgot who it was against a couple weeks ago, but it was a big
Cowboys.
Win. And he celebrated that night at Outback.
Yeah.
And I tweeted the picture from his Instagram story. Yeah. And I'm like, I love this guy right here. And you text me like, are you sure that's Outback? I'm like, don't question me on Outback. Don't question me on the Outback.
You barely see any signage. And you're like, yeah, yeah. Well, but look at their side items. You can tell that's the Outback such and such.
So I was never more offended by a text message in my life. You're like, dude, are you sure this is Outback? I was like, Kyle.
Juicy listen, shrimp and steak.
I know. I know the food establishment, the chain food establishments.
Now, Jimmy, are you sure that's not a Chili's? Because I thought I saw some baby backs. Right. Nope. Outback. And then we did it on the show, and Outback eventually tweeted us and everything. They're like, hey, if you ever want to stop in for a steak, like they're, you know, that impersonator they have.
Cousins. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
See, there's a lot there. The Vikings, what they've been through, and so many letdowns and setbacks. Them. And then Cousins is one of these, like, great sort of caricatures in the NFL that people like to make fun of or mock. He's sort of like a Ned Flanders-esque quarterback, which I really like.
Yeah.
So him winning it would just be like the ultimate, I want to say F you, but he would never say that. So like darn you or something like that, which I also like. So I do. I have a thing, Jimmy, where I don't necessarily care about objectivity. I really don't.
Right.
I will unapologetically root for players and teams and root against them,
right?
Which is fun.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and that's my whole thing is just be honest about it. That's why, you know, getting back to Simmons, like I think Simmons always did it right. Like I'm the Boston guy. These are my teams. This is the way it's going to be, and that's it. Like that's the way to do it. It's when you know there's so much where you know a reporter uses a certain GM for a source that people don't know about, and then that team gets a break from that. That's the stuff I hate. Just be open and honest about it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know how Schefter always has that thing where he recuses himself from making a pick because he's a journalist. And everything. Yeah. I totally respect. I just don't have that. Like I can say anything I want. Yeah. Like I can say I hope this guy wins this game. It's fun.
I don't think George Kittle will ever hear this podcast, but maybe you think he'll be mad that you're going with Kirk Cousins over George Kittle. That seems to be your guy now, Kittle.
Kittle will get his due from me next week. Yeah. I'm doing plenty for Kittle. But yeah, I mean, the Niners might win it. It'd be cool.
Right.
Honestly, like, I do think a Patriots-Niners Super Bowl is absolutely fascinating because of the quarterbacks. Because
because Garoppolo
Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo was the pool boy at Brady's house, or like the hot nanny I used to call him, where like the wife is like, I don't want that hot nanny around here. Get out of here. There's going to be some you know infidelity.
Right.
And he basically had the power move to get the hot nanny out of here. And so they traded Garoppolo, and he had nothing to worry about. So Brady versus the hot nanny, like that's really
good. That's actually, I mean, it's an interesting one because I do think you just described it perfectly, the storyline. But I do feel like there's a lot of Patriot fatigue from. I felt it last year with the Rams Super Bowl, and especially because the game was so bad. I think fans are so sick of the Patriots that I wonder if that storyline would be enough to carry that. Like I know for me personally, like I want to see. I don't know. I mean, I've gotten to know some NFL players, not nearly as much as you, obviously. But I know nobody on the Chiefs. Well, Kelsey a little bit. I want to see Andy Reid just win the Super Bowl already. Like, just let this poor guy, this poor bastard, like with the Eagles and everyone forgets last year they won that game. Dee Ford.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable.
Like they won that game. They beat the Patriots.
The ball
last
went off Gronk's hand and was picked off.
Right. So I feel like I hate that. Like the narrative with this guy is going to be could never win the Super Bowl. Yeah. I just hate that. And I love. How do you not love Patrick Mahomes?
I love everything about it, but they got a long time to do it. I'm that guy,
know
Jimmy.
If they do
because Mahomes.
Well, yeah, but Reed. Let Reed win his Super Bowl. Right?
You want Reed to win it?
Yeah.
I'm the guy who says I just want more Patriots. Like I like the dynasty, and I have a take that I believe in this era, the Patriots need to be there in the Super Bowl, and I think like if you win one over the Patriots, it makes it way more memorable. Let me say what I mean. The Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl win, which was obviously classic and fantastic. Do you think it would have been that special if they were playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, who they would have played if the Patriots lost the title game?
100%
It's not as memorable.
100%
The two Giants wins, or if they were, you know, over some of the Steelers, it's just not the same. It 100%. Reminds me of, you know, we know that sort of the Houston Rockets won two NBA titles. Right. We know they really didn't because they weren't over the Bulls and Jordan was retired. I feel like in this era, sure, you won it, and fine. Then no one can take away the fact that the Ravens won one, whatever, because they went through the Patriots.
Right.
Those Patriots Super Bowls mean more.
Yeah, no, 100%. The funny thing about the Patriots, too, with the Super Bowls is, you know, you can make the argument, like, the Patriots really didn't beat the Seahawks. But then the flip side
of that. Carroll beat the Seahawks.
Right, I mean, just ridiculous. But the flip side of that is, you know, the Patriots, you know, they lose, like, with David Tyree catching the ball off his helmet. Yeah. So it does it does balance out. But the Patriots have given us between the Seahawks Super Bowl, the David Tyree Super Bowl,
28-3,
and the 28-3.
I know.
You know, it's hard to.
I mean, back to the Vinatieri ones at the beginning. They're always great. Right, they're always even last year sort sucked, of, but it was close. Yeah. We're all going to have a lot of years, God willing, when there's Patriots are not going to be in the Super Bowl.
Right.
I'll take one more. Let's enjoy it while we have.
It's a good take. Look at my phone going off.
What was that? Was that the organ lady at Yankee Stadium?
Look at that phone number, 095. That's a fake.
Yeah, don't answer that. It's the Prince of Nigeria.
Exactly. All right, so that's a good way to end it on on the bad phone call
there.
That's
it, baby.
I appreciate you coming in. I really do.
Of course.
Even though I know the commute wasn't tough, I know you guys have a crazy schedule, and you got the family, so it does mean a lot that you would come in for an hour.
Jimmy, happy holidays, week. My friend.
Happy holidays to you, and... we'll get you and Schrager in here together whenever Peter's busy schedule allows it. You know, he's got that Thursday night gig with Fox, big information guy.
Yes, big, always on the phone.
Yeah.
Runs Brooklyn.
He's great. We'll get you on next year with Schrags. And that wraps up this episode of the SI Media Podcast. We'll see you next week. My thanks to Kyle Brandt. Good Morning Football, NFL Network, Monday through Friday. Take care.